welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. I'm Doug Heck, your host. A special two-part bookmark today with Anthony DiStefano joining us from New Jersey. Great author and have some wonderful children's books. We're going to be talking about a couple of them today, but we're really going to focus first on Your Valentine, published by our friends at Sophia Press and naturally available through our EWTN religious catalog. Anthony, always wonderful to have you with us on the program.
Thank you for having me, Doug. It's been many, many years and many, many books we've talked about.
Absolutely, absolutely. They keep on coming. So Your Valentine, tell us about this particular book and why you decided to write it.
Well, Valentine's Day is one of those feasts that's been heavily, shall we say, rebranded by the culture. In fact, some would say that it's been hijacked by Hallmark. In the modern world, Valentine's Day means chocolates and cards and flowers and mushy rom-com movies. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's definitely a place for that. I'm Italian. I love romance, of course. But not many people, including not many Catholics, know that there's a real Christian saint and martyr behind the holiday. And in writing this book, I wanted to restore some of the original meaning behind Valentine's Day in a way that children could understand. And I also wanted to say something about love and marriage. You know, we're living in a time when the words love and marriage are argued about constantly. I didn't necessarily want to write a book that could be used in the culture war, but I did want to write it to remind people in a gentle way of what Christians have always believed, that marriage is a gift from God between a man and a woman, and that love is the sacrificial self-giving of oneself.
Now, you based this on what? Where did you get the material for the background for the book?
Well, it's based on historical fact. There really was a Saint Valentine, a third century martyr, who was killed by the Romans for marrying Christian couples at a time when it was illegal for Christians to get married. It was illegal because Christian married men didn't want to fight in all the wars that Rome was having. So they made it illegal. And so in this story, we see how this Roman bishop, his great faith in Christ and his belief in sacrificial love, how that transforms the lives of two children that he meets in prison, as well as the mean, angry jailer, and subsequently influences generations to come right up until this day. But regarding the actual facts behind the story, the church for centuries has venerated a saint named Valentine who was martyred in the year 273 on February 14th. Actually, there were several, multiple martyrs named Valentine, and the early records don't give us any kind of modern style biography for them. But this story is totally consistent with pious tradition. That's what I include in my book, the core of the story, which is that Valentine was courageous at a time when there was great persecution of Christians. He was imprisoned for secretly marrying Christian couples. He had a connection with the jailer's family, and there was a healing of a blind girl. Plus, there was a famous Your Valentine letter that he wrote to the jailer's daughter before he was executed, which became the basis, legend has it, for present modern-day romantic messages of love.
Okay, with that said, we're going to take a look at the video you produced reading this book. So let's take a look at that.
Your Valentine, written by Anthony DiStefano, illustrated by Antonio Javier Caparo. In the land of ancient Rome, once upon a time, the act of getting married was considered quite a crime. Rome was always having wars to show its army's might, but married men with wives and children didn't want to fight. No more marriage, Rome proclaimed. No more taking wives. Those who broke the Roman law were threatened with their lives. But at that time, there lived a Christian, loving, brave, and kind. He was a bishop of the church whose name was Valentine. When Christian couples fell in love and wanted to be wed, Valentine would marry them in secret, it was said. He told the couples whom he married they must never part, then gave them each a little gift, a cut-out paper heart. One day, soldiers caught the bishop with a groom and bride. They took him to a prison, and they locked him up inside. In the prison worked a boy. Marcus was his name. He couldn't walk without a limp. His leg was weak and lame. The jailer often yelled at him because he moved so slow. But Valentine assured the boy, "It's not your fault, I know." The two struck up a heartfelt friendship, speaking through the day. Marcus swept and cleaned the jail while Valentine would pray. Marcus asked the bishop once if miracles were real. The bishop thought that Marcus hoped his crippled leg might heal. "My limp is fine," the boy replied. "I honestly don't mind. My hope is not for me, but for a girl I know who's blind." Marcella is the blind girl's name. She's kind and sweet and good. "I wish the God you talk about would help her if he could. Her father is the jailer here, the one who's always mad. He's really not a bad man, though. Her blindness makes him sad. All the children pick on her because she lost her sight. They trip her and they make her fall. It's mean and just not right." The bishop looked at him with love and smiled tenderly. "With God, all things are possible, so bring your friend to me." Marcus took her to the jail, guiding her with care. He led her to the bishop's cell so he could meet her there. The bishop asked about her life and why she couldn't see. She said she had an eye disease when she was only 3. She said that Marcus helped her walk and that he was her friend. She said he was the only one on whom she could depend. Marcella said her father couldn't see that he was kind. The bishop said a person could have sight and still be blind. The bishop took Marcella's hand. The blind girl felt his touch. He said to her, "Dear little girl, God loves you oh so much." Just then the jailer thundered in and slapped the young boy's face. "How dare you bring my daughter to this dark and dirty place?" He grabbed Marcella's hand and left, shouting all the while, "A prison's not a proper place to take a little child." After this, the jailer kept his daughter far away, but Valentine kept praying for her every single day. Soon the Roman ruler came to visit Valentine. He said, "You must give up your faith to be a friend of mine. Never make a Christian couple into man and wife. If you disobey this law, you must give up your life." Valentine began to speak. The sun shone from above. "Marriage is a gift from God. I'll gladly die for love. Love between a man and woman is a holy thing. Joining them together can't be stopped by any king. I follow only Jesus Christ," the Christian bishop roared. "Jesus is my savior and my sovereign and my Lord." The emperor, now filled with rage, looked him in the eye. "There's nothing else that I can do. I sentence you to die." When Marcus heard about the news, he ran to tell his friend. Marcella asked if he could take her to the jail again. Despite his fear of being hit, Marcus said all right. When the jailer went to sleep, he snuck her in at night. The wind outside was whipping round, howling in the trees. Valentine was in his cell, praying on his knees. Marcella whispered through the bars, "They say you have to die. People seem to hate you Christians. Can you tell me why?" "The truth is sometimes hard to face," the Christian bishop sighed. "Many people choose instead to hate it out of pride." Then he smiled lovingly, and to her great surprise, he reached out through the iron bars and touched Marcella's eyes. He said, "Marcella, God is great. He loves and cares for you. Do you believe with all your heart that what I say is true? Do you believe that Jesus Christ can make your eyes like new? Marcella clasped her hands in prayer and bravely said, "I do." The bishop prayed to God the Father, Son, and Spirit too. Marcella opened up her eyes, which now were sparkling blue. She rubbed her eyes and turned her head, and then she blinked again. And for the first time in her life, Marcella saw her friend. Suddenly, the prison door came flying open wide. The jailer screamed and cursed at Marcus, rushing from outside. "You brought Marcella here again, you miserable disgrace." He took the crutch that Marcus used and waved it at his face. Marcella quickly stepped between and told her father, "No." Her eyes were full of light and love. Her face was all aglow. Her father froze and shook his head in wonder and surprise. He stopped his awful screaming and he gazed into her eyes. Then he dropped the crutch he held and fell down on his knee. He hugged his little girl and cried, "My daughter, you can see." The jailer turned to Marcus and embraced the little boy. He said, "I'm so, so sorry," as his eyes streamed tears of joy. After that, the jailer showed the bishop great respect, treating him in special ways that no one would expect. He felt so deeply grateful that his daughter now could see. He asked if they could all convert to Christianity. But soon the time approached for Valentine to meet his fate. The 14th day of February was chosen as the date. The night before the bishop died, he scribbled down a note. He left it for the jailer's daughter. Here is what he wrote. "Dear little one, you precious girl, I'm happy you can see. I'm going home to be with God, so please don't cry for me. Remember God's great love for you. Remember that, my friend. And love that comes from God in heaven doesn't ever end. I pray the light that you've received will always brightly shine." The bishop signed the note "With love," and closed, "Your Valentine." When sunrise came and everyone was sleeping in their beds, the Romans carried out their plans, and Valentine was dead. They buried him not far from Rome, beneath a roadside cave. Marcella placed a paper heart and roses on his grave. After just 1 year went by, the Roman ruler passed. Christian men who fell in love were free to wed at last. The boy and girl became adults and fell in love one day. Marcus needed help to walk. Marcella led the way. They married soon and spent their lives together side by side and tried to spread the story of the bishop far and wide. Valentine became well known. The church increased his fame. Declaring him a holy saint immortalized his name. Today we send out cards and hearts to those we hold most dear, to honor this great saint whose light still shines so bright and clear. For Valentine now lives in heaven, watching from above. He'll always be remembered as the saint who died for love.
Well, there we have it. Your Valentine is read by its author, Anthony DiStefano. So how long does it take you to produce one of those videos?
Well, usually it takes about 3 or 4 days. I have to get all of the sound effects, the royalty-free sound effects, and I have to pick the music, which also has to be royalty-free, so I have the rights to all of that. And then I go with an editor, and we put it all together. I'm like a little director in a dark room, much like your post-production people. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. It's a very collaborative process with an editor. And I love it because, you know, when you put music to a story, it's like you're making a little mini movie so that people can actually step inside, in this case, ancient Rome.
Well, let me ask you, you usually use various artists for illustrators in your book. This one, it seems to, is this a new gentleman who worked on this book, or where did you pick him from?
I've used him once before. I've used him on a book called How the Angels Got Their Wings. His name is Antonio Javier Caparo. Mm-hmm. And I chose him not just because of his technical skill, although he has a tremendous amount of that. I chose him because he has a kind of cinematic quality to his work. You know, he's got these glowing Rembrandt-type lighting and a very expressive faces and mm-hmm. big panoramic images that make you feel, as I said, as if you're actually stepping in to ancient Rome. Mm-hmm. You can see his incredible range throughout the whole book, the grandeur of the Roman Empire, the dark and dingy, claustrophobic prison interiors, the tenderness of the bishop, and the beauty of the miracle scene where the light actually becomes tangible, like grace made visible. So these mm-hmm. effects matter very much for children because picture books, I've always believed, are felt before they're read and analyzed. And I think that Antonio did a magnificent job in this book.
So let me ask you one question. I know it kind of ties into the book itself saying you're Valentine, but you know, sometimes we have to fight the battle of Saint Valentine because we've kind of lost, it's become Valentine's Day rather than Saint Valentine's Day. Why didn't you name it Saint Valentine?
Well, you know, as I said, all my books are meant to be used in the culture war to some degree. I'm keenly aware that the culture, the secular culture, meaning the movie industry and the media and the academic world, love to jump over the heads of parents and try to propagandize children with their secular message. Mm-hmm. So in order to fight that battle, I have to be clever, though. I don't want to always show people that I'm writing something that's meant to take part in the culture war. So by calling it Your Valentine, I hope to go in kind of a stealth way with the other side not really realizing that what I'm doing. And I think that's much more effective in terms of gaining victories in mm-hmm. this culture war.
Okay, so that was Your Valentine. In this special edition, we're going to feature another book that's coming out from you, which is The Sparrow Who Fell to the Ground. Give us a quick overview of this book.
Well, this book was inspired by a passage from Matthew 10, 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. That passage from the Gospel of Matthew has always moved me because it really captures something at the heart of Christianity, the fact that God's love extends to even the smallest, most overlooked creatures, and most especially to human beings who are made in the image and likeness of God and are all unique, precious, and unrepeatable. And so I want the children to know that no one is insignificant in God's eyes. And by centering this story on a fragile little bird who is trying to escape from a scary valley, I was trying to show them that God's love is constant, even when we feel broken, scared, or forgotten. So the sparrow's journey is really our journey. It's full of falls and bruises and anxieties mm-hmm. and suffering, and yet God is with us every step of the way.
Okay, but let's take a look at that video.
The Sparrow Who Fell to the Ground, written by Anthony DiStefano, illustrated by Richard Cowdrey. There once was a place called the Valley of Tears, where it rained and it poured for hundreds of years. Deep in this valley, on a rocky plateau, there lived a small sparrow a long time ago. This sparrow was born with a broken right wing, which he kept all his life in a little white sling. Whenever the sparrow attempted to fly, he'd get very weak and fall from the sky. Down he would go, clatter and smash, The sparrow would slam to the ground with a crash. Sad and ashamed, he wanted to cry. How could a sparrow be frightened to fly? Despite all his heartache and worries and fears, he had to get out of the Valley of Tears. The valley was scary when storms would come through. The rains rarely stopped, the winds always blew. Lightning would flash and thunder would boom. The days were so dreary, the nights full of gloom. And yet, there were times the clouds disappeared. The downpours would stop and everything cleared. During those days, the sparrow would see just how delightful the valley could be. There in the heavens, shining so bright, the sun would arise, a glorious sight. The sun gave the sparrow a glimmer of hope. Maybe he somehow could fly up the slope. Over the mountain and out of the rain, there might be less sorrow and suffering and pain. He got so excited he took off a sling. Throwing it down, he freed his right wing. He furrowed his brow and said a short prayer, then ran to the cliff and leapt in the air. But just as he rose, he started to stall. He hung in the air, then started to fall. Dropping and whooshing, he plummeted down, blinking his beak when he hit the hard ground. "Oh no," cried the sparrow, "I'm doing this wrong. I must find a way to make my wings strong." He spotted a twig, then using some string, he wrapped it around his broken right wing. Then running and flapping with all of his might, he jumped off the cliff and started his flight. At first, it felt pleasant to glide through the air. Whee! His wing didn't hurt. The weather was fair. Whee! The freedom of flying was good for his soul. Whee! He even tried doing a loop and a roll. Just at that moment, the sky turned to black. A lightning bolt thundered and rumbled and cracked. The wind shrieked and groaned. The rains pounded down. The gusts tossed and shook the small sparrow around. He heard his wings snap, then felt himself drop. He crashed in the puddle, kersplash and kerplop. There he encountered a shocking surprise, a slithering snake and rat with red eyes. Retying the twig, he tried to move fast. He flapped his wings swiftly and took off at last. But flying and crashing had made his wings sore. The ache that he felt was hard to ignore. He wanted to quit. He wanted to land. The pain was too much for the bird to withstand. Above him, some vultures were circling around. They hoped the small sparrow would fall to the ground. The tears from the clouds came down without end. The sparrow tried saying a prayer once again. "God, help me escape this terrible storm and get me to someplace that's sunny and warm. Those vultures will eat me if I give up now. I need to keep flapping and flying somehow." High in the heavens, the moon shone its light. The snow on the mountaintop gleamed frosty white. Although he felt tired and worn out and weak, the sparrow continued to fly toward the peak. His feathers were drenched, his wing needed care. The wounded bird seemed to be limping in air. Upward he climbed, higher he flew. The top of the mountain at last was in view. Puffing and puffing, refusing to stop, he finally made it up over the top. Crossing the ridge, the bird was in awe of all the magnificent things that he saw. Flowers and rivers and meadows and trees, sunshine and cities and vineyards and seas. But all of a sudden, he heard a loud crack. His broken wing crumpled and went very slack. Down the bird tumbled, swish, whistle, zoom. He dropped like a rock, clunk, clatter, boom. Shaking his head, he got to his feet. He took a deep breath and smelled something sweet. The smell came from lilies that rose from the ground, thousands of lilies that grew all around. The bird stumbled forward and clutching his wing, it felt torn and mangled and started to sting. He came to a garden, lush and serene, with trees full of flowers and grass emerald green. The garden was filled with animals too. A bunny, a sheep, a bird that was blue. An ox and a camel and donkeys were there. There seemed to be all kinds of life everywhere. Off in the corner, he spotted a boy, planting some seeds and smiling with joy. The boy saw the sparrow, and turning his head, he called out to him and quietly said, "I see that you're hurting. Come over here. Stretch out your wing. There's no need to fear." Touching it lightly, he felt for the base. Then moving it slowly, he put it in place. And forming a cross with two sticks of wood, he fastened it gently until it felt good. "Your wing will mend fast with a splint that I've made. You see," said the boy, "I'm a carpenter by trade." In no time at all, the sparrow had healed, there by the lilies that grew in the field. The days overflowed with playing and fun, but mostly he cherished the light from the sun. Soon he was soaring and flying above, happy to be in this land full of love. Yes, he had suffered for many a year, but all of his suffering had led him to here. The sparrow was grateful he fell to the ground. He'd been lost in the valley, but now he was found.
Very good. So that was the sparrow who fell to the ground, and we're just about out of time, Anthony. So thank you very much for joining us for your Valentine, as well as the sparrow who fell to the ground, both available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. This has been EWTN's Bookmark. We'll see you next time.